There we are. Sorry about that, guys. Amen. Well, I'd like to start in the Word here today in Luke. We're talking today about kingdoms in turmoil. And we're seeing this happen as we speak in these days. And it isn't new. It isn't new to our generation. These things have been going on for many years. And I'm wondering, I was thinking, how many, somebody made a statement one time in the 1960s, I think it was. They said that there has, for the last how many hundred years, that there has never been a day that there has not been some kind of warfare or turmoil going on between nations. And if that was true in the 1960s, it is true yet today. There's always some nation shooting at some other nation, carrying on some kind of guerrilla warfare of some sort. It's been going on continually. There's not been a day of peace. But we know that the world will someday say peace and safety, and they'll say they have a solution to all this problem that's going on in the nations, but they're not going to have the solution. Amen. So let's look in Luke chapter 21. There's a couple of verses here, passages I'd like to look at. Luke 21, and I'm thinking of let's start in verse 8. Usually I read from Matthew, but there's things here in Luke that are said that are not in Matthew. So we'll go back to verse 7. They ask him, saying, "Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things come to pass?" All right, so these are signs that we're looking for at the coming of the Lord. And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived." So the first thing, first, always the first answer from the Lord, whenever he was asked about signs of his coming, his first answer was always, "There's coming deception. Take heed that you don't be caught by it." Now let's go on. "Take heed that ye not be deceived, for many shall come in my name." What does that mean? Many coming in his name. How will they come in his name? They'll be saying that I'm a Christian prophet. I'm a Christian evangelist. I'm a Christian thus and thus. I come in the name of Jesus. You know, you can trust me. You can believe me. I'm coming to you with the word of God. You know, okay, many will come in my name saying, "I am Christ." Now, I don't know that any man is foolish enough to come out and say, "Well, I'm Jesus Christ, you know. I'm the guy that walked among Peter and James." And no. The word Christ means the anointed. "Oh, brother so and so, what an anointing he's got. You know, oh, that fellow from Texas, that fellow from Florida, that fellow from, oh, what an anointing." So the word anointing, the word Christ, is equivalent to the anointed one. Okay? He's not saying he's the Messiah. He's just saying that he's got the anointing. He's got the word of the hour. Okay. "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and the time draweth near." All right. So the other thing that's going to be said is that we're getting very close. Well, the truth is we are getting close. But these are those who are going to come with an end time word. The time draweth near. It's an end time word. "I've got the anointing. It's an end time word. Listen to me. I'll tell you what to do." Okay? "Go ye not therefore after them." Now that's in both Matthew and Luke. It's a sure word that he spoke. "Go ye not after them." But now he's going on with the signs. "But ye shall hear of wars How many wars have you heard of in your lifetime? Can you count them? Who's lived shorter than me? Howard, how many do you remember in your lifetime? How many wars? You're muted.
Quite a few, but big ones,
Yeah, what year were
them.
you born?
63.
63? Do you know what was going on in the 60s?
Vietnam was coming in during
Oh
that
yeah, it
time.
was already going on in 63. Yeah. And then that ended. And then what? Well, it didn't really end. Yeah, it kind of ended. Yeah, sort of. But then there was another one going on somewhere else.
Korean War.
Well, no, the Korean War was before that. Well,
Oh,
okay, go back to World War I, then moved right into World War II, then the Korean War, then the Cold War, and then Vietnam, and then we got into desert situations, desert this and desert that, and storm and all that. And there's always a war going on in the Mid East, isn't there? And then there were all these wars in Africa. Remember Uganda? Idi Amin? Oh, you don't remember that fellow. Oh, what a terrible fellow he was. And North Africa, wars going on there. Who's the guy that brought down the Pan Am flight? Oh, come on. Where's my historians here?
Gaddafi,
Gaddafi.
Muammar
There we
Gaddafi.
go. Yeah, Gaddafi. And by the way, they've just finally caught, they think, Gaddafi's man that actually made the bomb or planted the bomb or did something. They finally, after how many years? 20 or 30 or something? So, yeah, we have wars that continue. And Afghan. It isn't over in Afghan. It isn't over. Syria, it isn't over. And now old Putin is stirred up. He wants to get involved. China is stirring up. They want to go after Taiwan. And they're just looking for an excuse to go in wars and whatever and commotions. I think in Matthew it says wars and rumors of wars. Wars and commotions. Stirrings. Amen. Be not terrified. You know, when I saw Tanya on that television screen and she told us what was really happening there in Kiev and how the missiles were coming in and destroying the electric systems and all that, I thought, oh my goodness, be not terrified, be not afraid. How can you, in the natural man, how can you be there and see these things happening and your natural inclination is, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh, what's going to happen? Are we going to be able, this is what we would think in our natural man. But Christ is saying to us here, be not terrified. What is the purpose of a terrorist? What is terrorism? It's to cause fear. I don't think these terrorists actually believe that they're going to really accomplish an overthrow of a nation or anything by some act of terrorism. These fellows that sent those airplanes into the Twin Towers, I don't think that they actually believe that they were going to have a successful coup and take over the United States of America. That isn't what they wanted to accomplish. They wanted to put us all into fear that we would be so terrified of them that we would say, "Oh my goodness, we have to obey them. We have to give them special privileges, what have you." Okay, well, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "You have to have wars. You have there. These are These are going to have to happen before I come back. You're going to see this happen. But the end is not by and by. That means the end is not yet. Just because you see a war, I have done a lot of reading and studying about World War II. I tell you, if I had been in Europe, if I had been in Germany during World War II, if I had been involved in one of those concentration camps, I would have been thoroughly convinced that the end had come. I would have said, Lord, you've got to come. You've got to. I mean, it's never been this bad. But Jesus said, no, it's going to happen for a while yet. Okay? And then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes. I was thinking of you guys out in California. But since he says it didn't hit where you guys are, it was what, further north, somewhere like that. But it was a powerful one in that region. I mean, it knocked out their power grid, their electricity. Earthquakes, great earthquakes, shall be in diverse places. I think we have more earthquakes yet to be seen. We haven't seen the big one yet, have we, Mike? The real big one. I was in Alaska, Good Friday, 1964, I believe it was. Good Friday, 1964. That one was the biggest one, I think, that ever hit North America. I saw what it did down in Anchorage. One whole street dropped one story. What happened is there were houses, two-story houses. After that earthquake, you looked out of the second floor window and you were looking at the street level. That whole street sunk that far. I saw that what happened out in the Turnagain Arms, houses that were built out toward the shore. Just torn to pieces. I saw what happened to Valdez, where the tsunami came in. I saw ships that were on the land that were still there 1 year after that tsunami came in. They were fishing boats, ships. I don't mean ocean vessels. I mean fishing boats type of thing. Brought right in. I had pictures of them. The whole town just basically deserted. Well, they've rebuilt the town now. Great earthquakes in diverse places, famines and pestilence. What do you think this thing of COVID is all about? Is this not a pestilence? Sure. Famines and pestilence. I don't know what was about 2014, and I put it on, it's on the website. It's what I named it is potential end time pestilence or something like that. And I went and I looked it over again. You know that I never put COVID-14 or COVID-19 on there because I'd never heard of it. But I put all the others that had the potential, that were known, that had the potential of really changing our life. This unknown one that we'd never heard of back in 2014, has done as much damage, I think, as if we'd all had Ebola. It's changed the political atmosphere, totally changed it. They discovered that they could lock us down, that they could make us wear masks, that they could make us social distance, that they could make us do this and do that. And some people got so locked up that they couldn't come out of their house, apparently, it sounds like, for almost for months at a time. They discovered they can do that and get away with it. Now they're telling us that when we can go out on the road and when we can't go out on the road. Oh, the storm, you can't go out on the road. Well, I was talking to Kara last night. I said, what's happened? She said, Dad, If anybody wanted to be a fool and go out in the middle of a storm, they had a right to do it. If you wanted to go out and go in the ditch, that was your privilege. Now they tell you. Matthew was saying, Mom, if they catch you out there, they're going to give you a ticket. Well, things have changed, haven't they? Famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now, let me move down. I mean, the next part about their laying hands on you and persecuting you is also true, but it isn't the subject today. Come down now a couple verses to verse 25. Again, the second coming. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Well, there's natural signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, natural signs, but I'm going to talk about the spiritual mainly. Yeah, natural. What are the natural signs of the sun? Well, there's solar prominences. And by the way, we are in the peak of the 17 year? No, it's not 17 years. How many year cycle is that sun in, Rita? You remember? You don't remember. Okay. I don't know what it is. I'm going to say it's 11. The sun goes through an 11-year cycle. And when it throws these prominences out, it's explosions on the sun, what it does is it comes and it affects our satellite transmissions, our radio transmissions, this type of thing. And it has the potential of shutting it right off, shutting it right down. Signs in the sun, signs in the moon. They say the moon is red. Well, it isn't. It just appears to be red. Stars, there's comets, these type of things. They can see exploding stars. Well, they might have exploded years and years ago, but the light of it didn't come to the earth until recently. Okay, so these signs on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. What does perplexity mean? When you say you're perplexed, what does that mean? Somebody give me a good definition of perplexity.
Confusion.
Confusion, okay. But it's more than confusion. If you're perplexed, you're puzzled. Yeah, you cheated, you looked it up. No, it is puzzled. What is this? I can't figure this out. I don't know what's happening. This is perplexity. Yeah, you're puzzled. Okay, perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Now here's. Here's one I like, but no, it's not one I like, but one I can understand. Sea and the waves. What is the sea? Come on. What is the sea? The sea is unredeemed humanity. Okay, what are the people of the sea doing in their waves? When the sea just lays quiet and flat, nothing's happening, right? But when these winds blow across these things, then what happens? Well, they get into parades and they make demonstrations and they go marching. And one of the waves of the sea is this LGBTQ, lettuce, bacon, lettuce, garlic, bacon, tomato, cucumber sandwich thing here. Now, they go marching off, they're demanding. And by the way, our governors are signing new laws, giving them special privileges, giving them special this and special that. The only good thing I can say is the Supreme Court isn't totally agreeing with all of their special privileges. Anyway, What's another one? What was that one? Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Well, every life matters, but the cry is a march in the streets, going on a rampage, destroying windows, destroying buildings, destroying property. These are waves of the sea. What other? Think of some others that have been going recently. The summertime is when they usually stir themselves up. Okay, waves of the sea, and when they're doing it, you'll know what they are. Okay, let me find some other verses here about the nations. Let me go to Hebrews 12. Now, Hebrews 12, I don't know where to start here. There's so much good in Hebrews 12. But maybe about verse 22, and we'll get to the part here. But ye are not come to Mount Zion and unto the city, but ye are come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So we are the Mount Zion people. We are come to Mount Zion, not a natural mountain, not a mountain like in the days of Moses that trembled and shook and was black. But he's saying, but you're come to a better place, Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. See, this is Mount Zion is a spiritual place. It's a heavenly place. And the angels, now they're telling who belongs to Mount Zion, the heavenly angels, okay? The General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Now that's not a name of a denomination. That just means the church, people who belong to Christ. It doesn't matter where they are. Some of them are in this church, some of them are in that church. There might be a few of them in the Catholic Church, in which case the Word of God says, come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her plagues. But there's a church made up of people scattered all over, the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn. The Firstborn, of course, is Jesus Christ. Amen. Which are written in heaven. In other words, they're in the Book of Life. Amen. And to God, the judge of all, he's part of this Mount Zion company, amen? And the spirits of just men made perfect. This could be the spirits of those who have passed on before us, amen? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the only mediator that we have. We pray only to Jesus. He's the only one that we take our petitions to. And he takes them before the Father. And he said, you can come directly to the Father in my name. Amen. So we have access now to the throne of God through Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, better covenant. Any covenant we find in Hebrews better than the old covenants, the old Adamic covenant, the old Abraham covenant, the old Moses covenant, the new covenant of Jesus Christ is better than all of them. And to the blood of sprinkling. Now, it brings us that the blood seems to be a living being of some sort. There's life in the blood. These are those that make up the Mount Zion company. The blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What did the blood of Abel speak? It spoke vengeance and recompense. But the blood of Jesus does not speak that. It speaks forgiveness. It speaks deliverance. It speaks cleansing. Amen. Now, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth? Who were those that didn't escape? Who were they, Rita? Oh, okay. Those who didn't escape were those who did not believe. Amen? The ground opened up. It swallowed some of them. Some of them were killed. Amen? Because of their rebellion. So see, if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, brethren, we have to come to a place where we can hear the voice of God from heaven. Amen? We have to come to a place where we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Come before the Lord. If you've never heard the voice of the Spirit, tell him, Lord, I'm a son. I have a right to hear from you. So much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. All right, so let me ask you a question, and maybe you can answer me if you like. How is your earth being shaken? And how is your heaven being shaken? Well, I'm thinking of Howard's friend. My goodness, that poor fellow, his earth is being shaken. His wife of many years has suddenly just packed up and said, I'm leaving. I won't say his name.
Well, Brother Mark, I think the Gadwah family had their world shaken a little bit with Michael's accident. Yeah. That was a real shaking up.
Yep. And my nephew, Tim, just about the same time that happened to the young Gadwah boy, head-on collision, killed instantly. The poor, my poor nephew, oh, he was just shaken for days and days and days. That here he is, a man, a man in his 50s, a son in his 30s, suddenly snuffed out, taken, married man, had a wife, shaken. All right, so how is your heaven being shaken? Well, I think some of the things that we have believed are being shaken. Some of the things of our soul is being shaken. If your heaven, if your earth gets shaken, your heaven gets shaken right along with it. So, let me see. Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So God is saying, you know, these earthquakes that you see out there in California, which had another earthquake again, this is shaking in the natural earth, but in our earth, we have a spiritual shaking. In our heavens, we have a shaking as well. Once more. Oh, God, I've had enough. No, once more. Well, I think what happened to me was a shaking again of my heaven or my earth or something. To think that such a thing as a stroke could possibly happen to such a healthy fellow as me, you know, it shakes your belief. Oh, no, it can't happen to me. Oh, yes, but it can. But, Lord, haven't I had enough? Am I not getting pretty close to being perfected already? No, son, you need another one. So you're going to have your belief system, the belief in yourself even, the belief in what could or couldn't happen to you is going to have to be shaken. I don't like it. But why? Okay. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. In other words, the removing of things that can be shaken. If you've got something in your belief system that is not right, and it is possible to shake it out, then this shaking is going to remove it. Amen? as of things that are made. In other words, things that are natural, things that don't belong, things that are carnal, things that come from my own opinions, what have you, as things that can be shaken, amen, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. Well, what is there in me that cannot be shaken? We say, my trust in the Lord cannot be shaken. Well, can it? We say, I will never doubt. We say, when I pray, I know that God has heard my prayer. Are you sure? Come on, are you sure? Can that be shaken? Suppose the results don't turn out the way you expected that they would turn out. Are you still going to say, God heard my prayer? You ask him, Lord, open your doors and close your doors. Well, the door gets closed in your face. Do you still believe that God answered your prayer? You see, can that be shaken out of you? So the thing that's happening is that the things, wherefore, it says, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. That means it can't be shaken. Are you going to have the fullness of the kingdom of God? Are you going to have all that he promised? Are you going to participate in all the power that he is going to give us? You know, if he can't trust us with all that power, he's not going to give it to us. Amen? Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace, thereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He's not only a shaking God, he's a consuming fire God. All right, that's Hebrews. Where else? I had a couple more places I wanted to go. Okay, so let me go to Revelation now for a minute. Revelation 11. Now we're still talking about kingdoms, and we're talking about the kingdom of God. See, the kingdoms of this world are going to be shaken out, but the kingdom of God is not going to be removed. If we are tied to the kingdoms of this world, our trust in what's going to happen out there, including our own kingdom, is going to be shaken and removed. If it can be shaken, it will be removed. Amen. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, what we have in this little part of Revelation here is, this is the seventh trumpet. And the verse exactly before this, on verse 14 of chapter 11, it says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. What are these three woes? What these three woes are, is the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. Those are the three woes. Let me take you back to the last verse of chapter 8. He says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Now that's three of them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So this angel is flying through heaven and saying, we've got three big woes coming. We've got the fifth trumpet, we've got the sixth trumpet, and we've got the seventh trumpet. Okay? Back to the fifth trumpet. What woe is that? It's the opening of the bottomless pit and the smoke coming out of the pit and the locusts and the king of the bottomless pit being the devil over these locusts. Amen. So what is this woe? I don't know, but I believe that this is happening as we speak. I don't know that these are just one-time events. I think it's a continuing thing. And these devils are coming out of the abyss, and they're getting into people, a spirit of murder, spirit of rebellion, spirit of witchcraft, spirit of Jezebel. These spirits are coming on people, and anything that they imagine that they would like to do, they just go ahead and do it. Somebody brings a gun into a store, start shooting. Somebody brings a gun into a mall, start shooting. Somebody has a gripe with his neighbor, doesn't like the way he parked his car or something, gets his gun out and starts shooting. A woman driving down the highway somewhere in California. Did you read about it, Mike? Woman driving down, I don't know, she was a fairly young woman, 24 years old, I think it was. All of a sudden, they found her car over on the side of the road. She'd been shot in the head, three or four bullets. Somebody just drove by her and shot at her. These are things coming out of the abyss, brethren. This LGBTQ thing, this is devils coming out of the abyss. Perversions coming out, things that used to be locked up in the closet, and now they're coming out. Used to be in the abyss, used to be a shame to even be thought of to be involved in these kind of things. They're not ashamed anymore. The shame is taken away. The nakedness is open, and the nakedness is the in thing now. Go out on the beach, just see how naked you can possibly get. That's what people are doing now. Demons coming out of the abyss. Oh, we could go on and on. The things that teachers, administrators of school are doing to the pupils. Devils coming out of the abyss getting into these people. Politicians, things that they're doing on the sly. Things that people would have never thought of exposing and doing years ago. I think they're coming out of the abyss now. There's the one woe, verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, there come two more woes. Sixth trumpet, okay? And what we have in the sixth trumpet, again, is the plagues. Let me read you verse 21 here of chapter 9. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, or of their fornication, nor of their thefts. What we have is murder. Sorcery is pharmakia, which is drugs. Fornication, the sex, and the thefts. And most of that theft is to support the pharmakia, the drug habits. These are the big things that are coming in the woes of the sixth trumpet. And by the way, it's also the release of these angels that are bound at the great river Euphrates, which is the spirit of Islam. It says, and these angels are prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, a specific period of time, a day, a month, a year. Mark it on the calendar when it's over. And what are they? Why are they being released? To slay the third part of men. That's one third. There's another third also that's involved. So this is being, this is the second woe. Now the third woe, all right, let's get this. The third woe is the kingdoms of this world, amen, are become the kingdom of God. So let's see what's going to happen here. Let me take you to verse 18. Now, by the way, this chapter 11, this third woe, is the same chapter where we have the two witness company. We have the two witnesses that have given their testimony, okay? And they've prophesied for 3.5 years. And their bodies now lay in the streets for 3.5 days. And then they are caught up to heaven. And of course, that same hour, there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. That means the tenth part means it was decimated. You have that term. You said the army was sent out and they were decimated. Well, literally, that only means 10%. But figuratively, it means a lot more than 10%. Decimated. Amen? Now, verse 18. So, the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdom of God. And how do the nations respond to that? The heathen. We're talking about the heathen. Okay? And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them that destroy the earth. So the nation's response, the response of, and that includes our nation as well, the politicians, the people that are in the leadership, the people that they lead, the people that voted for them, the people that are in agreement with them, how do they respond to the kingdom of God taking over all the earth? How do they respond to God taking over all of politics? Are they happy about it? Are they all clapping? Are they all saying, well, it's about time? How about this LGBTQ community? Are they going to be happy to see the whole kingdom of God take over? That all the laws, that all the righteousness is going to be judged by the standard of the Word of God? How's that going to go? Amen? Well, they're angry. The nations are angry. Now, one last verse here, and that's chapter 7 of Revelation. And I believe this is where we are right now, at this very time. And it says, and after all these things, amen? And after all these things, what things? Well, let me go back a little bit so we take a little look at it. I'll read the sixth seal so we know that after all these things, what we're talking about. It says, and I beheld, and he that opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Isn't that funny that there you're seeing earthquakes all over the place in Revelation here? A great shaking. See, an earthquake is a shaking. Sometimes you have a great earthquake in your life. You know? Doctor tells you you've got cancer. That's an earthquake. That shakes you up, doesn't it? There was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. Okay? The sun is the visibility of God. God represents the sun. If people can't see the sun, if people can't see righteousness anymore, they can't hear the voice of God. They don't see God. They're out to proclaim that God is dead. That old traditional God you guys have worshiped, he's not around anymore. We can't see him. Black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The church became as blood. Been persecuted. Amen. The stars of heaven fell. The big time evangelists, the big time ministries fell into the earth, into the carnal realm. even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. That's a pretty rapid fall, isn't it? A pretty big shaking. Amen. When she is shaken of a mighty wind. See, here's the word shaken again. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island is moved out of its place. That's a shaking. Mountains, big ministries, islands are one-man order organizations, one-man ministries. Kings of the earth, all right, the politicians, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the chief captains, that would be your billionaires and what's the name of these, some of these fellows? You know who I mean. And the mighty men and every bondman, every free man hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. People are going to be aware at some point that God is stirring and God is moving. Amen. He's not sleeping anymore. Amen. When the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, and you begin to come and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. So he's stirred up. The world is going to be aware that he's stirred up, that he's moving, that he's acting. And they're going to hide from it because the brightness, the light of that thing is so bright, they can't stand it. When you bring righteousness, when you bring the word of God into the lives of people that want to remain in wickedness, they don't like that at all. Not at all. Who are you? You know, here's what they say. Oh, you're going to take us back to the dark ages again. When we couldn't have our freedom, when we couldn't do what we wanted to do, when we couldn't be transgender, when we couldn't be this, when we couldn't be that. You're going to take us back. We don't like that light. No, they don't. They want darkness. Amen. So it says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now it says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. What are these winds? What are these four winds? Anybody have any idea? What'd you say, Rita? Well, of course they're winds of adversity, but they're winds of movements, political movements, winds of thought processes. You know, for instance, what was it, a couple of years ago, that Black Lives Matter thing. People were out in the streets breaking windows, breaking up stores, rioting, going against the police. This is just an example, okay? It's not the only one. I've seen many of them in my day. Back in the 60s, we had these movements, people coming against the government because of the Vietnam War. And again, they do the same thing. What were those movements, Mike? You probably remember them. One of them was called MOVE, remember? MOVE. And then there was remember this Patty Hearst went into the bank with these thugs? She was the daughter of one of the richest men around. Hearst, he was the one that owned all these magazines and newspapers and this type of thing, that business. That was an organization. Again, they're going to overthrow the government. They're going to have their kind of thinking brought in. Another wave of the sea, okay? So these are winds that blow at the waves of the sea. There'll be another one this summer. I don't know what it'll be, but there'll be another one that'll be marching in the streets and going against the police, and they'll bring in the National Guard and this type of thing. March on Washington, another one. Well, in fact, I think that one January 6th, I think it was one of those winds that blew against some of these conservative people that wanted to have their way in government. It was another wind. It was another wave that blew across. Well, this time Congress had to investigate it thoroughly. All right. So I saw holding the four winds of the earth. Earth is the carnal realm. Okay. That it should not blow on the earth, the outer court believers, the earth Christians, nor the sea, which is the unredeemed people of the world, or what else? A tree. What is the tree? Who are the trees? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The trees are the sons of God, the strong Christians, not the grass Christians, the strong Christians. Amen? And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Notice this is an angel ascending, coming up. I thought angels came down. Well, those are heavenly angels. An angel is what? An angel is a messenger. So a messenger coming up from where? Coming up from the east. East is what? East is the mind of God. Coming out of the mind of God was a human messenger system. Not just one man, but a message coming by way of men. Angel is a man, can be a man. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, that's a man. Amen? So, ascending, coming up from the east, from the mind of God, having the seal of the living God. Amen? And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. All right, notice he's not going to hurt the tree here. He's just going to hit the outer court, and he's going to hit the sea. But he cried. He had the seal of the living God. Now, what is the seal of the living God? We're in this right now. We're here. The seal of the living God, brethren, is the Word of God. And if you receive the Word of God in your mind and in your soul, you're going to have the seal on your forehead. And it's going to be on your hand, because the thing that you do is going to be according to the Word of God that seals you. So we are being sealed as we speak. Hurt not the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So, if you hear the word of God, and you take it in, and you believe it, then you are being sealed. Am I right? You can go back to Ezekiel chapter 9. Amen. The angel was sent out with a destructive force to follow up the sealing. But they were not to touch those who were sealed. Okay? But they began, remember, where did they begin? They began at the house. They began with the elders. They began with the ministry. And they came into the house. They came into the church. And those who are not sealed, brethren, are going to endure the destruction. And I believe it's some of that destruction that we saw in the sixth seal. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And the number of them sealed, of course, was 144,000. Now that's a spiritual number. But you know what? It could be a natural number as well. 144,000, that's a lot of people, isn't it? Sometimes I wonder whether the Lord could possibly find 144,000 in the earth. But then I don't know how great, really, the kingdom of God really is. Yes, I believe there's going to be at least 144,000. But I also believe that it's going to be a number of the fullness, a number of the completeness. 12,000. What is 12? The fullness of divine order of government. Of government. Mike gave us a good word a few weeks ago about these tribes, the meaning of those names, the tribe of Judah. The fullness of those who have the ministry of praise. The fullness of those who make up the troop. Amen. The fullness of the tribe of Levi. Amen. Spiritual tribe. Well, God bless you. I think I'm going to finish with this. I think we've come far enough for today. And I'm going to shut the recording down. Well, I'll leave it open. You want to add something, just add it to it. I'll leave that open for a while. Well, nothing to be added. I'll shut it off and you can still speak. Where are we here?